If you take your Bibles with me and turn to the epistle of to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, and I want to read there the first seven verses of Philippians chapter 4, 1 through 7, and we'll be in this for a little bit tonight, trusting the Lord to speak to hearts. We'll be encouraged to go on for Him. And for those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, trust even tonight that you will allow the Lord a place in your heart and trust Him as your Savior. I'll tell you, you'll never regret that. You'll never regret serving the Lord, living for the Lord. You'll never, ever regret that. It's a wonderful life. It's the greatest life. All right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Centurion that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen to the word of God. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our Father and our God, we give you thanks and we give you praise. For in you we live and move and have our being. God, we truly acknowledge you this evening for who you are. For you are the great God Almighty, the creator of all things, the one in whom all things consist. God, you are truly worthy to be praised. For there is none as unto you, there is none besides you. There is none to be compared with you, for you are God and God alone. And we give you praise for who thou art. We thank you for this opportunity again that we can be in the house of the Lord this evening. We thank you for your word that we can look into at this moment. And God, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We pray by the power of your spirit. God, you will move in our hearts tonight. You will speak to us. And God, you will help us to move on in our Christian lives, that will serve you faithfully, will serve you truly, and God will do all that is required of us as we live for you. We pray for those who might be here this evening and are lost, do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. God, that they will realize their need this evening, the greatest need that they will ever have in their lives is to know that they are saved by the grace of God and know that they have eternal life and they are prepared for eternity with God. And so, Lord, tonight we pray that you would just bless your word to our hearts and minister to us, we pray, in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Well, this evening I want to speak to you on the topic here this evening, I can rejoice. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the Christians at Philippi, you know what? The Apostle Paul, he was in prison when he wrote this letter or epistle. And you know what? He was rejoicing in spite of what was going on with him. verse 18 of chapter 1 says, "What then? Notwithstanding, everywhere, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." And so, you know, he was rejoicing because the gospel, in spite that he was in prison, the gospel was preached. And people was reached for the kingdom of God. And so he is encouraging the saints of God to rejoice in the Lord. Verse 4 of chapter 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." You know what? I don't know what's happening here. But I've been to many churches and I've seen that, you know what? There is not a rejoicing in the Lord as we ought to. But you know what? We ought to be a rejoicing people. And knowing that we serve a risen Savior, a resurrected Savior, knowing that we serve a Savior that is alive, and our hope is in Him, not in this world, not in the politicians, not in the things of this world, but in the great God Almighty, the Savior of mankind, Jesus, who came and died for our sins and paid the price and given us this wonderful privilege and opportunity to serve Him, to be ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him here. And we thank God for the privilege that we can rejoice. And here Paul was saying to the Christians at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And this evening I want to share four things with you this evening why we need to rejoice. There are quite a lot of more things here, but I'm going to settle on those four. And hope tonight that God will speak to our hearts, that we'll be a rejoicing people because of what we have in the Lord. You notice He didn't say rejoice in the things of this life, in the things of this world, but He says rejoice in the Lord. And we have something in the Lord that can never be taken away from us. Jesus in John chapter 10 and verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Verse 28, He says, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gives them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out from my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so you know what? What we have in the Lord, this world did not give us. The devil did not give us. And the world cannot take it away. The devil cannot take it away because we are in the Lord. And we thank God tonight for that. And so, first of all, why we ought to be rejoicing? I can rejoice tonight, first of all, because I'm saved. I'm saved by the grace of God. And I do have eternal life. And most of all, my name is written in heaven. Look at verse 3 with me here. In our text, Philippians 4 and verse 3, it says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Is your name in the book of life tonight? If your name is in the book of life tonight, then you ought to be a rejoicing person tonight, a rejoicing Christian, because your name is written in heaven. And that all came about because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. The finished work that He did on the cross of Calvary, that the Heavenly Father God was satisfied with. And tonight we thank God for the great sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary, not for His sin. He had no sin. He was the sinless, spotless Son of God. But He paid that price on the cross of Calvary. That sacrifice He made, it was for our sins. We have sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so because of our sins, you know what? Romans 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, Wherefore as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And because of our sins, Jesus came to this earth. He came voluntarily to deliver us from under the power of sin, under the power of Satan, from the eternal judgment of God. He came to redeem us from the maggot of sin and hopelessness and give us life eternal in His name. And tonight, praise God, we can rejoice in the fact that our names are written in the book of life. And we are safe and secure for eternity. And there is no doubt in my mind tonight, because God is not a man that He should lie. In fact, the Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And my friend tonight, God does not want you to perish, die and go to hell.
The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he went for every man, woman, boy, and girl that would be born on the face of this earth. He went to die for the sins of the world, for everyone, my friend. He died for you. He died for me. He died for everyone. And tonight, he wants you to know this, that you can come to him tonight and believe on him and be saved tonight. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And tonight you can be sure that you have eternal life in Jesus. And that's the only way, my friend. There is no other way to salvation. There is no other way to eternal life, but only in Jesus. Jesus in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Tonight it is your opportunity, my friend, because you are yet in the land of the living. You are still alive. You can think. You can hear. You can think. You can make a good decision tonight. You can choose the right way to go. You can choose Jesus tonight instead of the world and death. You can come to Jesus and come to life. Be quickened and come to life in him. John 5:24 says, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And tonight you can come from death. You can come from spiritual death tonight and come to spiritual life in Jesus if you will believe what he did on the cross of Calvary, that he died for your sins. He paid the price of your sins on the cross of Calvary so that you can have life in his name tonight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He wants to give you his righteousness. Thank God for the righteousness of God that he has imputed upon us who have trusted him as the Lord and Savior of our lives. And tonight, thank God that our names are written in the book of life. I want to turn you to a scripture here over in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Gospel of Luke chapter 10. And I want to encourage us to rejoice in the Lord. Jesus here was encouraging his disciples to rejoice, not because of the great things that they did when he gave them power, but because of what he did for them. Look at verse 17 with me. And the Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Praise God. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven, my friend, tonight. You know what? We as God's people do not have to go around worrying and troubled and worried of this life or what is happening in this life, because our names are written in heaven. Our name is written in heaven. We know and we are assured that what we have in the Lord, it is the truth. We can rest assured in this. But what if your name is not written in the book of life tonight? Where do you stand? Let me show you something from Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. If you are not saved tonight, this is for you. If you, your name, if you do not know that your name is written in heaven tonight, if you do not know that you have eternal life, this is something you need to know. The Bible says in over in 1 John 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. and that he may believe on the name of the Son of God. So every person that is born on the face of this earth need to know that they have eternal life before this physical life lifts them. Because you know what? After death, my friend, there is no repentance. A man must repent while he's alive, while he's aware of right and wrong and good and bad. While he's aware of there is a God and there is a heaven and there is a hell. And here we find Revelation chapter 20. I want to read something here for you up in verse 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My friend, this is serious business. This is now life and death. What are you going to choose? Life or death? The Bible says here, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This whosoever also means that whosoever will may come. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Tonight, you can have it. Young men, you can have it. Boys and girls, you can have it. Teenager, you can have it. Adults, you can have it. You can have eternal life tonight if you will trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, whereby your name will be written in the book of life. In God's book. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to know that your name is recorded in God's book? You can rejoice tonight because your name is written in heaven. If you can't rejoice about that tonight, my friend, you can if you will come to Jesus tonight and know him as your Savior. And not only that, but secondly tonight, I can rejoice. Let's go back to our text, Philippians 4. I can rejoice because I can pray. Look at verse 6 with me of our text. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Isn't it wonderful tonight to know that I can take everything to him in prayer? The songwriter says, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." What a privilege the people of God have. God's children, that we can call on our Father any time. In every circumstances, in every situation, it doesn't matter what it is, we can call upon him any place, anywhere, anytime. What a privilege. It says, "Be careful for nothing." But I tell you something tonight, when we come down to reality, so many times we are very careful about things, we're very anxious. We become worried. We become troubled about what's happening around us in this world, what we may be going through. And sometimes we do not take time to pray. But it says here, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is our privilege, that we can go boldly to the throne of God. We can go into the very presence of our holy God. We can go into the very presence of the infinite God. Finite beings, when I think of it, finite beings as we are, can commune with the infinite one, the great God Almighty. What a privilege we have. And sometimes we forfeit that privilege we have. We don't use that privilege we have with our God. And we are troubled. We live with a troubled life. And we complain. And we wander around. And we forget that we have the all-sufficient God who is able to hear us and answer us, who is able to meet our needs. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says, unto him. Let's turn to that scripture here. Ephesians chapter 3. And look at verse 20 with me here. Ephesians 3, 20. I got to quote it, but let me read it. Let's look at it. Ephesians 3, 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now unto him that is able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There is nothing that is too hard for God. There is nothing at all in this world that is too hard for God. There is nothing that could limit God. Anything that we would ask God for, he is able to do much more than what we ask him for. Think of it tonight. Think of it tonight. And that's why we ought to be a rejoicing people, because our Heavenly Father cares for us. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Think of it. He cares for you tonight. He cares for me. He cares for us tonight, his children. He is truly a caring God. A loving God, a caring God, a merciful God, a wonderful God. God is so wonderful. He is good to us. The Bible says in Psalm 33 and verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of God. The goodness of the Lord. And tonight, brethren, we ought to be rejoicing people because we can pray. We have a God that we can commune with. A God we can go to. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, God says, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Think of it. So he's able to do that. He, first of all, he says, if you call, he would answer. And thank God that he answers our prayers. He hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. And we can go to him anytime. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. And tonight we have this assurance in our God that when we call upon him, he will answer us. As we call upon him in faith, believing him that he is able to do what we ask of him, according to his perfect will for us. In James chapter 1, the Bible tells us there, because you know what? We ought to go to God in prayer, in faith. Not wavering or in doubt. But we ought to go in assurance. Because we go into a God who is able. And who we can trust. Who is dependable. Who is faithful. And so James says over in James chapter 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraid it not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is as the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, brethren, when we go to God in prayer, we cannot go wavering. We cannot go in unbelief, but we ought to go in faith. Believing God without a shadow of a doubt. That God is able, as we have seen in his word. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And tonight, we can rejoice because we can pray. We have a God who we can pray to, who is able. There is nothing too hard for him. There is nothing he cannot do. He is the God of the impossible. What is impossible to man? With God, all things are possible. And that's why we can rejoice. Because, hey, I have a God I can go to. And I have the assurance that he's able to do what I ask of him. He is not man. He is not like man. He is not a disappointing God, but he's a faithful God. He is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. What a great God. Brethren, we serve the great God Almighty. We serve the greatest of all. There is none like him. There is none besides him. There is none to be compared with him. He is God and God alone. And tonight, what a great God he is. What a great God he is. And that's why we can rejoice in him all the way, all the way, all the way, all the way. And then not only that, but thirdly, I can rejoice. I can rejoice tonight because of what God has done in our lives here tonight. It says here in verse 7, I can rejoice because I have the peace of God. I have the peace of God. Let's read verse 7 of our text. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I would agree tonight that we live in a wicked world. We live in a troubled world. We live in a world that is chaotic. On every hand we see trouble, we see problems, we see difficulties, we see trials and testings and tribulations. We see the ungodliness and the wickedness of this world is rising and rising every day of our lives. But you know what? In the midst of this, you and I who have God can rest assured in the peace of God. We can rejoice in the peace that we have in our God. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding of this world, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank God for the peace of God tonight. When all the troubles of the world are going, you know what? The people of God have gotten the peace of God. We can rejoice. We can rest in the peace of our God. You know why? First of all, because we have made peace with God. If you have not made peace with God, you cannot have the peace of God. Jump over to Romans chapter 5 with me. Romans chapter 5. You see, one time we were enemies of God. We were separated from God. We were aliens. We were cut out from God. We did not know God. We didn't serve God. We had no God in us. But you know what? One day, Jesus Christ came in when we trusted him as our Savior. We have made peace with God. For the Bible says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Who therefore shall be the friend of this world is the enemy of God. But here we find in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it all hangs on Jesus tonight. It all hangs on Jesus. Therefore, being justified by faith, made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, the sacrifice he made, the voluntary sacrifice he made in giving up his life, giving up himself for sinful men. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Praise God for a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior is Jesus our Lord. We are justified, made righteous. When God looks upon us and sees us in Jesus, he sees us righteous. Righteous in his sight. He says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have made peace with God through Jesus Christ when we put faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary and trusted in him as our Savior. And so, because of this, God has given us his wonderful peace that passeth all understanding. And even in a troubled world and in a troubled environment, in a world that it seems as though the devil is having the best, yet the people of God can rejoice because we have the peace of God in us. That peace that we are rested in, knowing that we belong to God, one day we'll be with him in eternity. And so we can rest in that peace of God. And the Bible says that that peace will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what? Lots of people are taking dope to have peace in their minds. And they're taking alcohol and doing different things in this world to have peace, peace of mind. My friend, you will never find peace of mind in anything in this world, but only in Jesus. Only in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary and for who he is. He is the Savior of mankind. He came to give peace. He is the God of peace. This world is troubled. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know what? He overcome the devil, the grave, death. He holds the keys of death, my friend. You know, one time the devil was holding that. Devil had a power with that. But Jesus took that away from him. He does not even have the keys for his home. Believe you me? But tonight, you know what? Jesus has the key of everything. And tonight we can trust in him. We can believe him. We can rest in his wonderful peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me say something to you folks. Anytime things want to trouble you in this world, the things of this world, maybe the politician. I know election is coming up and lots of people are worried and troubled about what's going to happen. Hey, God knows what is going to happen. God has things in control. You don't have to worry about that. God has everything in control. He knows who's going to be there already. Oh, yeah. But you know what? We have a responsibility to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That's where the healing is going to come. Worrying about that wouldn't help the situation. Being troubled about it would not help the situation. But I tell you something. Praying about it is going to make a difference. Praying about it is going to make a difference. And God knows what's best for you if you will trust him on that. If you will pray to him on that. He'll give you the best. God will do it. Amen. And so tonight we can rejoice because we have the wonderful peace of God. The peace that passeth all understanding. And lastly tonight, I can rejoice because Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Look at verse 5 of our text with me again. Verse 5, Philippians 4, 5. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I'm saying tonight, Jesus is coming again. And because of this great expectation that we have, because of this hope that we have, we can rejoice in that hope tonight. We can rejoice in that expectation tonight because our Savior is coming again. He's coming to take His own. Let me say this tonight. He's not going to be coming as a lamb to be slaughtered anymore. He's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming as the conquering Lion of Judah tonight. He's coming, the great God Almighty, coming in the clouds of glory to receive His own. Tonight, Jesus is coming again. You believe that tonight? You know what? You need to be rejoicing. We need to be rejoicing because our Savior is on His way. He's coming again to receive His own. One of His days will be taken out from the very presence of sin. We'll have no more to contend with sin. I look at Philippians chapter 3 with me and look at verse 20 and 21. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Praise God tonight. You know what? One of these days we'll be changed. As 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. You know what? It's going to be a mystery. But we all will not all die. But we all will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on incorruption. Praise God. That's what it says here. Verse 21, it says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He's able even to subdue all things unto Himself. You know what? He is in control. Everything is under His control. You know what? One of these days we'll be like Him. 1 John chapter 3 tells us that. We'll see Him as He is and we'll be like Him. Praise God. We'll no more have to fight cancer and kidney and all kinds of diseases and surgery and all of these things. Praise God. The Bible tells us all of these things. There'll be no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, no more death, for the former things are passed away. And this is what we are looking forward to, brethren, that one of these days this change will come when our Savior comes in His glory and in His power to receive His own. Would you be ready, my friend? Would you be ready to meet Jesus when He comes again? In John chapter 14, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is what we're looking forward to be with our Savior in eternity, out of this sinful world, out of the very presence of sin. And we'll be in the presence of our Lord, whereby we will be glorifying Him day and night, because He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I trust that we will be a rejoicing people, rejoicing in the Lord each day of our lives because of what we have in the Lord. Nothing is able to take it away from us. It is safe and secure in Him. May we continue to serve Him faithfully. For it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is,
and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking after the Lord? Are you faithfully serving him? If you're not, may you find a place to serve him in the ministry, serving him faithfully, because what you do for him will not go in vain. Paul says to the Christians at Corinth, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you do for the Lord will be counted in eternity. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much again for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity again to open your precious word, and so that we can find the truths, and God, we can do what is necessary, what is required of us as your people. And God, for those who this evening do not know you as Lord and Savior, God, we pray that they too this evening will realize their need and trust you before it's eternally too late. We praise you and we thank you for all that you have done and what you will continue to do. Have your blessed day now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.